The Last of the First, Half Hero, Book 3, written by Ian W. Sainsbury and read by Jonathan McGarrity.
The Last of the First. For my brother, Paul. Previously in the Half Hero series, a brief catch-up with spoilers from Books 1 and 2. Abos is the world's first super being. Besides being strong, fast and bulletproof, she can return to a slime-like state when her current physical body dies, which means she is not a she because her gender is dependent on the host body. Abos is no longer alone as she has found two more members of her species, Shock and Susan. While Abos brings the other superbeings back from their dormant states, her son Daniel has discovered a new purpose with fellow half-heroes Sarah and Gabe, who, under the direction of United Nations representative Safi, bring in rogue half-heroes who have turned to crime. On a mission in Newcastle to take down drugs boss Triple D Davison, they are ambushed and drugged. They wake up in White Sands, New Mexico. Alongside every other half-hero alive, they are locked in a high-tech prison. Abos searches for Daniel without success, but there's a new problem. Genius technology company owner Titus Gorman has found 8 more of Abos's species. He has brainwashed them to be his protectors as he unleashes the Utopia algorithm, a global cyber attack which redistributes all wealth. Gorman uses his superheroes, now known as Titans, to commit murder and convince the US president to play ball. When Shock and Susan are fully grown, Abos takes them to America to search for the Titans. The three superbeings can link their minds together. One mind helps them with this search as they fly over swathes of America while mentally connected. Meanwhile, Daniel, Sarah, Gabe and the other half-heroes break out of their prison with the help of their own version of One Mind. They head to Gorman's headquarters to confront him, only to find the 8 Titans waiting for them. In the ensuing fight, almost all the half-heroes are killed, Gabe included. Only Sarah and Triple D, who drive away, and Daniel, who is thrown over a cliff and lies close to death, survive. Abos, Shock and Susan find Daniel. While Shock and Susan fight the Titans, Abos takes his son to a nearby Albuquerque hospital where he begins to heal. Abos goes back to find Gorman, only to discover Roger Sullivan, one of the scientists who knew him in Britain, is the real threat. Sullivan has killed Gorman, and he controls the Titans. Susan and Shuck's bodies have been returned to dormancy and will be brainwashed in their new bodies. Abos suffers the same fate. While recovering, Daniel finally meets Safi for the first time. A tentative relationship develops. They mourn the loss of Gabe. Triple D promises to fight alongside Daniel and Sarah from now on, but he has a long way to go to earn their trust. The situation is bleak. The Titans now work for the American president, and Roger Sullivan is a national hero. Abos is male again, and is being drugged and manipulated just as he was in the 1980s. It's Safi who comes up with a plan. During a Thanksgiving Day parade in New York City, the half-heroes divert the vehicles and the Titans. Abos is confronted with a series of billboard images of home designed to break his conditioning. Daniel's favourite song, Cars by Gary Numan, blasts out of a huge PA system. Abos remembers who he is and flies back to Great Britain. Back in their farmhouse in Cornwall, Daniel, Abos, Safi, Sarah and Triple D are ready to accept a life on the run when Sarah has a better idea. She thinks they might be able to save the other Titans from their mental enslavement. They all agree to give it a shot. Daniel has a secret he has yet to share. He has just found out his sperm was used anonymously for IVF treatments a generation ago. He is the father of 108 teenagers. One superhero, 3 half-heroes and a human against 8 Titans and the military might of the United States of America. Sarah's plan had better be a good one. Chapter 1. It was when the giant old man rose 20 feet into the air. His eyes liquid fire and his body wreathed in grey smoke, that Tom first suspected he was dreaming. Pretty much all of Tom's dreams started with sex, had sex in the middle, and ended with sex. He was 16 years old. There was a girl in this dream, a cute girl, but fully dressed. Unusual. That was how the dream had started, with the girl. She was in a car. It was blue with a red passenger door,